Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
jai.
Śrī Bhakti Vedanta ki jai. Karantara Śrīmad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Oh, joy to thy go Premanande. So tonight we'll finish chapter 16 of Canto 9. And next Monday we'll have the overview of chapters 9 to 16. And then the following Monday, which is the 3rd of August, then we'll have the closed book exam. And the open book exam and oral presentations will also be due on the 3rd of August. Okay, so any points from last night that we discussed?
The purpose of going to Holy Dham, the consciousness that needs to be maintained, is not just for bearing, which is even the cows does in that Holy Dham. So the consciousness needs to be associating with the saintly personalities and hear from them the consciousness and get absorbed.
Good. Any other points? Any other points?
Offensive mentality should be avoided. That will keep the
meditation.
One cannot advance in spiritual life if one spiritual master is not successful. So they can take the way and karma. They just presume that they can still get another advance. They could not lose the knowledge they're working.
Anything else? Better if you can. Yes. Okay. So tonight we'll continue with chapter 16, and next week we'll do the overview. Chapter 16. Thus Jamadagni, being worshipped by Lord Parashuram, was brought back to life with full remembrance, and he became one of the seven sages in the group of seven stars.
The seven stars revolving around the pole star at the zenith are called the Saptarshi Mandala. On these seven stars, which form the topmost part of the planetary system, reside seven sages: Kashyapa, Atri, Vashishta, Vishwamitra, Gautam, Jamadagni, and Bharadvaj. These seven stars are seen every night, and they each make a complete orbit around the pole star within 24 hours. Along these seven stars, all the other stars also orbit from east to west. The upper portion of the universe is called the north, and the lower portion is called the south. Even in our ordinary dealings, while studying a map, we regard the upper portion of the planet as north.
Is there any points here?
Jamadagni is a very important person, one of the seven sages, great sages.
Except the riches. Any other point?
No, it's
not the Mahajans. 12 Mahajans, that's another book.
Even though they follow religion and all that sort of thing, they're not as big as the Mahajans, I would say.
The Mahajans are Brahma, Narada, Shiva,
yes.
Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlada.
Yes.
Yeah. Prahlad, Janak, Bhishma. Yamaraj. So they're not as exalted as that. Are there any other points?
In verse 23, Prabhupada is saying, Panch Yajna is compulsory. Can you tell us something about Panch Yajna?
It's compulsory.
The Vedic principle of Panch Yajna.
Okay, yeah, we can discuss that. Any other point?
Can I just say that along with the seven stars, all the other stars also orbit from east to west? Does it mean that the seven stars are the leaders? They
yeah.
lead the other.
Well, they're higher than the others.
So
they're above. Like all the others are going around like that,
yeah.
But these ones are up higher. They're like that.
Okay.
There's 14 planetary systems, so they're like on a higher level, and these other ones are going around like that.
Okay.
Any other points? So, we are seeing these are the seven Saptarishis. You know this constellation? Have you seen it? The Saptarishis? You know in the sky? You can see it? Yeah. It's hard to see it in Melbourne because there's too much light. But at the farm you can see it quite easily. Every night practically. If there's no clouds you can see it. The Saptarishis. Here in Melbourne it's hard to see it because it's too much light. You might see one or two, but at the farm you can see the seven. Even at the farm, like one or two of them are very hard to see. Because it's kind of like seven stars very close together. So this is the highest part of the universe. And actually, at the farm, they're in the north. As Prabhupada was saying, it's like from south to north. So, at the farm, you can't see here, but you can see the Milky Way very clearly. Last week, because the moon was dark on Thursday, and the sky was clear at night, so you can see the Milky Way very clearly. You know, straight above us, it's like a cloud, long, long, long cloud that goes through the sky. So Prabhupada says in the second canto of the Bhagavad Gita, that is the stem of the lotus which is coming from Gavadakshaya Vishnu and goes up through the universe. So the Milky Way is that stem going up to Satchaloka, which is the highest part of the universe, which is Brahma's planet, the lotus flower. And the 14 planetary systems are like wrapped around that lotus stem as it goes up. And the Prabhupada is saying here in this purport that from south to north, it's from the bottom of the universe up to the top of the universe. Then that's where the lotus stem is travelling. And then you see the Saptarishis, because Prabhupada is saying they're in the northern part, which means they're just below Brahma's planet, Satchaloka. Actually, a long way below, but down from Brahma's planet. There's Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, like that. So they're in that area. So if you look at the north, you can see where that is situated. So they're very great personalities, great sages, but not as great as Yogeshwar was pointing out, the Mahajanas. They're not pure devotees, but they're very exalted sages, very powerful sages. You see like Vashishta, Vishwamrita, they're famous sages, Kashyap, like that. So they're very famous. There's many pastimes surrounding them. But Prabhupada's already pointed out in this canto earlier on, Vashishta and Vishwamrita are not pure devotees. You see some of the pastimes, you know, they're envious of each other and there's all sorts of things going on. Yeah, like that. And some material consciousness is there. But you'll see like in Prahlad, Janak, Bhishma, all these personalities, they're much higher in their consciousness, much more exalted. So Jamadagni, he has taken birth, or he is situated amongst those seven sages on that exalted planet. And it's very famous all over the world. All the ancient cultures of the world, they recognize these seven planets. They have different names for them. We call them Saptarishi, but they call them other things. But they're always mentioned. The Greeks know that they're an auspicious constellation. All the different ancient cultures recognize them. So, Mahaprabhu was mentioning about the Panchajagya. So there's five types of sacrifice, or you worship five principal gods. Who are the five principal gods who worship? Surya, Shiva. What is the list?
Ganesh.
Ganesh.
Mati.
Yeah, Durga. And one more. Agni maybe. Or Vishnu, I can't remember. But you worship them. And the idea is that by doing that panchajagya, then all the karma that you have from day-to-day activities, it gets burnt away. So Prabhupada mentions in, might be in the Krishna book, I think, then he says that there are five types of sins that we all commit every day. Whenever you light a fire, then you kill some living entities, when you begin your cooking, or when you step on the ground, or when you breathe, or it says five different types, five things we do every day. We're always killing living entities. So all of us are sinful. We're all collecting karma. So you do this panchajagya to nullify all of those karmas like that. And for us, what do we do? How do you know it works?
Krishna's name is purifying
everything. Yeah, but how do you know it's purifying you? Yeah, but how do you know it's working?
But practically, we are checking ourselves on a regular basis and understand how we are and how we were and how we are today. So that check completely.
But how do you know your karma is disappearing?
We feel the regular special concession to human society.
What's that?
It's a special concession.
Yeah, but how do you know it's working?
We are getting a kind of secure feeling once we are.
You feel secure?
Well, yeah. Which by itself says that yes, we are.
You feel secure?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool.
Well,
you already said you're happy, so. So Prabhupada says in the purport, he said, for the devotees, we dance and chant in front of Lord Chaitanya. That is our system. You worship Gauranga. In Kali Yuga, you worship Gauranga. He is Kali Yuga avatar. So you just dance and chant in front of Lord Chaitanya, and then all of your karmas will be destroyed. So we don't have to do a panchajagya. We just do one jagya. Eke yasto mahanguna, one good quality in Kali Yuga. And just by doing that, then all of your sins are destroyed. So you can feel it. Absolutely. Devotees feel like that. They feel absolutely purified of things. And you know, as being a devotee, we all know that the longer you stay a devotee, the more you feel like your karma is reducing. Yeah, I can feel it myself when my karma is not anywhere near as big as it would have been. If I hadn't done devotional service, I would have got much more karma. So whatever karma I'm getting is like a small amount compared to what it would have been. Like, you can feel that as a devotee. You get reactions, but not like we would have got. Any points?
But these stars, do they look in one line or how
do you see? Saptarishi?
Yeah.
No, it's a group. It's kind of like seven. Just
like a circle.
Like a little bit like a circle. Just it's a group. It's like kind of like that, like a shield.
Okay.
There's seven of them. They're all together.
And
you can see them here sometimes, but not properly. But at the farm, I can see. Lately, I've been seeing them a lot. Because I get up in the night, I go to pass water, so I go outside. Because my bathroom's outside, so I have to go outside. I actually go out to the grass, but don't tell anybody. Because no one now, I just go out to the like that. Because then I can look up at all the stars.
Mm-hmm.
I very much enjoy that. That's my sense gratification. Mm-hmm. At the farm, just look at the stars. So the middle of the night, because I get up to pass water, and then I just look at all the stars. Very beautiful. So Saptarishis, you can see them. If the night is clear, you can see them very carefully. The moon's there, you won't see it so much. But when it's dark, you can see it very carefully.
Can we see the polar star from here?
No, that's in the north. The northern hemisphere. But you can't see it in the southern hemisphere. That's why it's called the North Star, because it's in the northern hemisphere.
So what is their purpose? What do they do?
What is that?
The purpose. Mm-hmm.
Of what? They have their own planets.
So So what do they do from here?
They meditate.
They just meditate.
Only. I don't know exactly what they do. They read Bhagavatam, they discuss Bhagavatam.
But they're in different
planets. Yeah, but up there they can travel in between planets. All the demigods travel. You know, sometimes they go to Brahma Loka, or sometimes they go to Polestar. They go to different... Up there they can move around.
Oh, okay.
So, not like down here, we can't move around. So. Just like last week we sent the satellite to Pluto.
Just been asking that one.
What's the question?
The question was, do these people know where they're going in terms of north or south or where? Because I mean, Pluto is considered to be where Yamraj is.
South, yeah.
And basically going south. So when we actually send a satellite, it's going up in the sky. So where is it going? Do they know which direction? They're going north, south, east, west, or something?
Yeah, of course they do. They're NASA.
But they're thinking they're going outside the solar system. That's all they're doing.
But how can you question if they know what they're doing?
I'm just asking.
I'm just telling. How can you question NASA? Did Prabhupada question NASA? So how do we know what they know? They tell us everything. They said there's ice mountains there, and they told us so many things. How do we know? Like it's a dot in the sky that's that big. You know, it's like a tiny, tiny dot in the sky, and they're telling us all the detail. How do we know? Maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. Maybe the ship is going past Pluto at the moment, but maybe it's not true. Prabhupada questioned it a lot.
Actually, today there was in the news that Stephen Hawking is trying to get to know whether there's any other life in any other planetary systems or aliens, and they're spending more than $100 million just to sort of find that out.
Wait, he's sending texts, or? How's he going to find it?
Yeah.
Very speculative, that's the point. Very speculative. Just like on the school holidays just passed, so I took my daughter to see, what's that movie? Minions. Yeah, it's like a kid's thing. Stupid thing. I didn't enjoy it, but you know. But the one part I enjoyed, they went through, they're chasing the minions or something, they chased through the scene. They went through like one movie set, and then there was like a moon landing. It was like a movie set, and they all ran through, and the camera's there, and they're filming, and the astronauts are jumping around. And they show, because it was sitting back, it was just a movie set. So even many movies, James Bond, there were some movies, the same thing happened, James Bond crashed through the movie set, you know, through this hangar, and they went through and everyone's jumping around like a moon. So they were suggesting that the moon landing was all false. It's just a camera, it's just all Hollywood stuff. So we don't know. How do we know what's true and what's not true? They're saying they're going to Pluto. Maybe they are, but we don't know for sure. And what difference does it make anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah, they spend all, yeah, apparently they spend all that money. And what do they tell us? Pluto's got ice mountains, so that changed all of our lives, didn't it? Any other points?
See, there was enmity between Vishwamitra and the sister in the beginning, but Vishwamitra did too much austerity.
Yeah.
At the end, when everybody was happy, Benedicta, he said, hey, but it's the sister comes and he thinks that I'm good, then only I would think I am good.
Mm.
So then the sister came and he appreciated him.
Mm.
So the enmity finished there.
Mm.
So when they are in the Saptarishi star, they must be faced.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So Prabhupada is writing here that the seven stars orbit around the pole star.
Mm.
So
Poster
is in the north, so can we see the seven stars from here
at all? Yeah, seven stars you can see.
So their orbit is quite big.
Awesome. Polestar you can't see from this hemisphere, you see it in the northern hemisphere. You must be able to see it from India, because India's above the equator, but you can't see it from here. Here we have the Southern Cross, we have like southern stars, which you can't see from the northern side.
So is the southern cross known that there is seven stars or?
No, that's a different.
That's a different.
What are the southern stars? Southern Cross.
Yeah.
There's one star constellation in the southern hemisphere. It's the shape of a cross.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, you can find out where south is. There's a certain way you measure and then you work out where south is. So when they used to sail the ships from England to Australia in the old days, they used to go on the sailing, then they would look at the Southern Cross when they came into the southern hemisphere. And then they can work out where south is, and then they can work out, you know, where they're going in the ocean.
Yeah.
So they get to Australia. Otherwise, you just sail and you just never get to Australia. And in the sailors in the old days, in the northern hemisphere, in Europe and America and all these places, then they look at the North Star at night, and then they know where they are in the ocean. That's the north, and then they can work it all out where they are.
How do they know that there's a North Star and there's this?
Because it never moves. All the other stars move, but that star stays in one place. All the other stars move. But every night it's in the same place.
You must be really expert.
Yeah, you have to be expert. Yeah. Even these days, when they train the pilots to fly the planes, they still have to teach them those things. Just in case all the system breaks down in the plane, then they can still look and they can still work it out. So, and the people who do the ships, like the captains and the big ships, they still have to learn all those things. Because all the instruments break in the ship, they still have to understand. So they're still learning. In the old days, that's all they had. I mean, can you imagine going on a sailing ship from England to Australia? 3 months. And a wooden ship, you know. They didn't know where they were. They had to, you know, just sailing in the ocean. So every night they had to see, like, where everything was to make sure they get to Australia. And they always got to Australia. Very expert. And when Captain Cook came to Australia, that was, like, 200 years ago, and he sailed up the east coast, like, from Tasmania to Queensland, and then he mapped the coast of Australia, and they still use his map. He was so accurate. And he was just doing it all by hand. Whereas these days it's all done by satellite, but he did it all by hand. It was so accurate they still use the same map. Which is quite incredible. These days we don't use much of our brain. Mm-hmm. We just turn on the computer and Google it and then that's it. But back then they used to calculate everything, measure everything. It was all done by hand and just by intelligence. They didn't have calculators. Any other points? It's up to Rishi's key?
Yeah.
My dear King Parikshit, in the next Manvantar, the Lotus Eye Personality of Godhead Lord Parashuram, the son of Jamadagni, will be a great propounder of Vedic knowledge. In other words, he will be one of the seven sages. Lord Parashuram still lives as an intelligent Brahmana in the mountainous country known as Mahendra. Completely satisfied, having given up all the weapons of a Kshatriya, he is always worshipped, adored and offered prayers for his exalted character and activities by such celestial beings as the Siddhas, Charanas and Gandharvas. So you see the Bhagavad Gita mentions that Ashwatthama and Veda Vyas and different personalities, they're still up in the Himalaya. And even it was mentioned one of the Manus a few chapters ago is up there in the Himalaya. And he will come back down when Kali Yuga finishes and he will populate again. So now it's mentioned that Parashuram here somewhere, it says Mahendra. I presume that's the Himalaya, I'm not sure where it is, but I presume it's in the Himalaya. So these great personalities, they're still up there. Vyasadeva is there, but you cannot see him. He's in Bhadrik Ashram. But you have to have transcendental vision to see him. You have to have purified vision to see him, but he's still up there. So many of them are still there. So it says Parashuram is still existing somewhere.
Does it mean that the seven stages that change? The seven issues? They change the name. It says the Parashuram will be the one of the seven rishis, sages. So does it mean that the seven rishis now, they will be replaced?
Maybe in due course of time, yeah.
Oh, so they're not permanent?
Permanent means for a long, long time.
Like Manus?
Yeah, like a Manu. Like many, many yugas like that. So. In this way, the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord, and the Supreme Controller, descended as an incarnation of the Bhrigu dynasty and released the universe from the burden of undesirable kings by killing them many times. Vishwamitra, the son of Maharaj Gati, was as powerful as the flames of fire. From the position of a Kshatriya, he achieved the position of a powerful Brahmana by undergoing penances and austerities. Nila Gopuji?
Now, having narrated the history of Lord Vaishnava, so then the soul begins the history of the soul. From the history of Vaishnava, we can understand that although Vaishnava belongs to the Brahminical group, he substantially had to work as a Kshatriya. Later, after finishing his work as a Kshatriya, he again became a Brahmana and returned to Vaishnava Paramita. Similarly, we can see that although Vaishnava was born in a Kshatriya family, by charities and penances, he achieved the position of Brahmana. These histories confirm the statements in Shastra that a Brahmana may become a Kshatriya may become a Brahmana or a Vaishya, and a Vaishya may become a Brahmana by achieving the required qualities. One's status does not depend upon birth, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by another. If one shows the symptoms of being Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, even if he has appeared in different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. To know who is a Brahma and who is a Kshatriya, one must consider a man's quality and work. If all unqualified Shudras become so called Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, social order will be impossible to maintain. Thus, there will be discrepancies. Human society will turn into a society of anger, and the situation all over the world will be diminished.
What points are there?
Men's quality and world are most important.
Yeah. Anything else?
Situations all over the world will be hellish when the qualities of the people will not be maintained as appropriate, like Kshatriyas, proper qualities of Kshatriyas in the ruling class, so as with the case of the Brahmanas. The current material world is in the same case, like we don't have proper Brahmanas, nor the proper Kshatriyas ruling the countries. So that's like hell. Practically, see that there is. In other ways, if we are not in this moment or under the shelter of the Guru or someone, then it's better to be here.
Anything else?
Vishwamitra, quite short and he used to do a lot. He done a few things, like he sent one unqualified person to the heaven, and Indra kicked him back. And when the person was falling back, he called out to Vishwamitra, and Vishwamitra said, stop wherever you are. And then he created a heaven for him. But in that heaven, everything was upside down, so it's called Krishna's perspective.
Any other points?
Actually, the story goes in Ramayana that actually the Satyavati and her mother, they were together, and they both wished to have a child. And so the Satyavati's husband, he created, for his potency, he created two pots, and he put the mantra and everything, and one to be drink by his by and one to be with by his mother, but mother thought that the one is for the wife must be better than the other one, and one was for to take birth as Brahmana and the other one was to take as Kshatriya. But they altered it, and so that's what happened. The Satyavati got the Kshatriya and the her mother got the Brahmana.
Yeah.
And so from Brahmana the Vishwamitra was born.
Yeah.
And from Satyavati Janmadhini, because he told Satyavati that
we already read that.
Wrong.
We read all of that already.
We have read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was already read. We did the whole thing.
Okay.
Thank you, though. We read the whole thing. Okay, so Prabhupada is pointing out the same point that he points out many, many times, is that we determine the qualification of someone by their guna and their karma, not by jama. Jama is what is the caste system has fallen into in India, particularly in recent times, the last few hundred years, even now. People are not qualified as brahmanas, not qualified by their guna, not qualified by their karma, but by birth they claim to be the brahmanas. Just like when I go to Vrindavan, there's some of the temples there, and there's some like priests there, and they run the temple like it's part of the family. Becomes a little bit like a business, and sometimes they see me walking through Vrindavan, and as soon as they see me, they come up. And they say, you know, this year, can you give donation? You know, because I gave one donation 5 years ago or something. Can you give donation? They're like, they almost harass you. So then it just becomes like a business. So that's not a Brahminical quality. Because the Bhagavatam says the Brahmana lives on charity. Charity means whatever you're given. You're satisfied with. That is the qualification of the Brahmana. He's satisfied. It's not that he persists that he must get a certain amount of wealth. Well, sometimes, you know, you give and then they say, give more. It's like, that's not the qualification of a brahmana. So Prabhupada taught us that when we go to Vrindavan, or those holy places, then sometimes the beggars will ask you for charity. So then Prabhupada says, if they just sit in one place, then you can give. But if they're following you around, and like that, he said, then you should not give. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that you should give something to the ones who are sitting peacefully. He said, otherwise your heart becomes hard. If you don't give some charity, then your heart will become hard. Something should be given. And you'll see quite often when the devotees go on parikram, they'll take many coins with them. There's so many beggars, and you can't give to everyone practically. So they'll just take coin, they'll just give like 1 rupee, 1 rupee, 1 rupee as they're going on parikram or like that. But the point is, you should give something. That should be the system. So this is the qualification. Prabhupada is saying a brahmana or a kshatriya, especially these are the higher classes in human society. They must have the guna. Guna means the quality. Kshatriyas are very powerful. They're very heroic. That's why Prabhupada says they're not kshatriyas now. Mainly, what's running the government is the Vaishyas. And all the sutras are put to work. Just like you see now the pre-elections in America are beginning, the primaries leading up to the election. You know when the election is in America?
September next year.
Yeah, September next year. Like that. So, you know, Australia doesn't get that worked up. When's our elections? Next year, I think. They haven't announced the date yet, but it'll be next year. We don't get so excited about it. But America being America, then they get very excited about the whole thing. Yeah, and so like a whole thing going. And then who's the number one running candidate for the Republican Party? Right? Yeah, so he's just a Vaishya. Big Vaishya. Donald Trump. You know, he'll become the runner for that particular party. He may become the President of America by this time. He's just a big Vaishya. So the quality is not there. The actual quality of the leader is he must be kshatriya. Kshatriya has very important systematic qualities. To be a chatra is not an easy thing. No, it means you have to be heroic. You have to have generosity. You have to have resourcefulness. You have to have many of these powerful qualities. So you must be qualified to be a chatra. Whereas these days, you'll see Prabhupada said the chatras are not being elected to government. Right? If you're a good vaishya, you'll be elected. Why would they vote for the guy? Because he's a good vaishya. He knows how to make money. So he says, I can boost the economy of the whole country. But it's guaranteed he's going to cause a lot of problems for this planet. And on the other side, then the other person you can vote to on the other party, the Democratic Party, will probably be Hillary Clinton. And she'll make a big mess as well. Because she's not a chachari either. All these people are, and if you go into Hillary Clinton, they hit some, they study because they have to report where they get their campaign money from when they run for presidency. And it's millions of dollars these people are given just to run for the election. They spend millions and millions of dollars. And they saw where all the money is coming from. Coming from the pharmaceutical companies, arms companies, the ones who make the weapons, the tanks and the rifles and all that. So wars make money. So that lobby, they give a lot of money to the presidents. And the meat industry gets huge amounts of money. So because the whole meat industry, that's the whole subject matter, that's heavily subsidized by the government. And the pharmaceuticals, because they very much control the government as well, their policies. So, these people are not actually qualified to become leaders. Because a leader must be a chatriya. A chatriya has very specific qualities. Chatriyas are very qualified people. They are very high quality, and they are very high character, and they are very selfless.
Dhruva
Maharaj. He had all the qualities. You see, like Yudhishthira, and very selfless personalities. That's who a chatriya is. And a brahmana is also by quality, by guna. He must have specific qualities, which Krishna says in Gita, samavatamastabhasacham. He must have those qualities. And if someone has those qualities, we offer them respect. So these are exalted qualities. So these days, as Prabhupada is pointing out, you don't see these qualities in the government. They don't have sense control. Sense control is one of the main qualities of a brahmana. But we don't see very often these days, the leaders don't have sense control. They don't have these kind of qualities. So guna and karma. Karma means how you like to work. What you do, not jhamma. These days everything is watered down to jhamma and less so. And then we have less qualified people, unqualified people becoming the heads of state. Any points?
So, Gopin, if the Varnasram Dharma has to be re-established, who
would
make the
choice? Banu Swami makes a good point. He says you can't actually have full Varnashram in Kali Yuga because you don't have real chatriyas in Kali Yuga. So don't worry too much about Varnashram. I mean, look here, what Varnashram do we have in this room? You have ashram, we're all grihastas, that's about it. If we don't even have the other ashrams in this room, everyone's just grihasta, that's pretty much it. Kali Yuga practically means grihasta. We've got a few brahmacharis living there. There's 1,000+ people in this congregation. You've got 15 brahmacharis or something, and there's no sannyasis. There's hardly any vanapras. So, we don't really have varnashram going on. And what do we have? Brahmanas. I mean, how many brahmanas are actually in this community? How many chatriyas are actually in the community? Got a few vaishyas, and most of us are just sutras.
Inspiring people.
Yeah, the main point is that we're devotees, that's the point. Prabhupada didn't play, you never heard Prabhupada saying, that devotee is a brahmana, that devotee is a chatriya, that devotee. Prabhupada never said like that. Prabhupada said they are devotees, that was the emphasis. So we should try to be Vaishnava. Varnashram is very difficult to put into place in Kali Yuga. Any points?
Yeah, it's inspiring to be devotees, they're not actually devotees.
I'm aspiring to be the devotee of the devotee.
That's nice.
Actually, I'm not even aspiring to be the devotee of the devotee.
Like your Guru Maharaj.
When your Vishwamitra basically explained here, he became a Brahmana by living penances and austerities.
Yeah.
So, here is that coming back with Guna and Dharma.
Yeah, these things can change. You can change. Yeah, by association you can change, by austerity you can change, things like this you can change. You can develop your qualities, because it describes that someone who takes birth as a Shudra, if he purifies himself and elevates himself, next lifetime he might be a Vaishya, and then next lifetime he might be a Kshatriya, and next lifetime, so your qualities change throughout your life, and then your next life, then you take off, and then, so gradually you can elevate yourself. So even in this life you can change varnas. Generally not, but it can be. Because as Prabhupada says in Parashuram, he was a Brahmana, but then he became a Kshatriya, but then he went back to being a Brahmana. And then Vishwamitra was a Kshatriya, but then he became a Brahmana. So it can be done. Not usually. Any other points?
But they have a special birth, these two people have a special birth.
They're very powerful living entities.
Mm-hmm.
O King Parikshit, Vishwamrita had 101 sons, of whom the middle one was known as Maruchchanda. In relation to him, all the other sons were celebrated as Maruchchandas. So, Vrindavana Prabhu, you'd like to read about the Maruchchandas?
In this connection, Srila Vishwamrita quotes this statement. From the Vedas. Vishwamitra had 101 sons. 50 were older than Maruchchanda and 50 younger.
Any points?
The middle one is called Maruchchanda. 50 elder, he is 101.
Any other points? What's that?
Lots of sons.
Lots of sons, yeah. Very good point. So by your association you develop certain quality. So that is part of the Vedic system. So by the association of this particular son, they all became elevated. So if there's one good, sometimes it's said like that, there's Vedic sayings, if there's one good fruit in the family, then the rest of the family also becomes auspicious. Or by the fruit on the tree, then the whole tree becomes auspicious, if the fruit is good. So if the one person is good in the family, the whole family becomes picked up. So similarly, in our devotional life, then we have to find good association. And by finding good association, we also become elevated in consciousness. So you have to find devotees who are elevated and get their association, and by their association you also progress and develop. That's the whole system. Sadhu Sangha. If you associate with sadhus, you will also become like a sadhu. So that is our whole system. So Prabhupada developed ISKCON for that reason. And that's why Prabhupada said there must be this kind of association in ISKCON, where devotees come together and they associate on a spiritual platform by discussing the Shastra. Otherwise, you come together with devotees and play some soccer and some tennis. It's okay. But if that's all you're doing, you'll never get anywhere. So devotees have to do more than that. There has to be real elevation. Someone was saying they had some devotee picnic or something last weekend or weekend before. someone was telling me, I'm buying some software. Okay. I heard that. That's disappointing I didn't get invited. Yeah, I'll find out. I'll ask the recommendations. Okay. Any other points?
So see, they become good because of the fear of the curse from his father.
Whatever it takes. Any other point? Okay. Vishwamitra accepted the son of Ajigartha, known as Sunashepa, who was born in the Bhrigu dynasty and was also known as Devarata, as one of his own sons. Vishwamitra ordered his other sons to accept Sunashepa as their eldest brother. Sunashepa's father sold Sunashepa to be sacrificed as a man-animal in the Yajna of King Harishchandra. When Sunashepa was brought into the sacrificial arena, he prayed to the demigods for release and was released by their mercy. Sri Ram Prabhu, please read the purport.
Here in the description of Sunakshepa, when Harishchandra was to sacrifice his son Rohita, Rohita arranged to save his own life by purchasing Sunakshepa from Sunakshepa's father to be sacrificed in the yajna. Sunakshepa was sold to Maharaj Harishchandra because he was the middle son between the oldest and the youngest. It appears that sacrifice of a man as an animal in the yajna has been practiced for a very long time.
Hmm. So what are the points?
Actually, the sacrifice like this was done to elevate. But this one was done, was it to elevate
him? Yeah, everyone gets benefit when the jaga is performed. So.
But to sacrifice him?
They would have brought him back to life.
Yeah.
I hope so. So that's the system, is that previously they would sacrifice the horse or the goat or the cow that was part of the jaga and bring them back to life. So even the system, it says here in the Bhagavatam, sometimes even a human being was sacrificed. They would use that person, and they would kill the person. So it shows how confident they must have been that they could bring the person back to life. Yeah. Because, if they do the jagya, and in the beginning, before the jagya is performed, they have to test the potency of the brahmana and the mantra, and then they have to decapitate the person and kill them, the cow or the horse or the goat, and then bring them back to life to show that the mantras are... I mean, it shows how confident they must be. Very powerful personalities. These days we don't have this kind of potency. Prabhupada explains that in the past they used to ignite the jagya, the fire, just by the mantra. And Prabhupada actually said one time, he said in 3 generations of ISKCON that will happen again.
Okay.
So that means Dhruv's kids will. Or maybe the kids of his kids will. See. My daughter's kids. So Prabhupada says that. Whether or not we'll see that actually take place. Whether people become so potent they can actually light the fire by the mantra. So, any points?
It was Chandkali was arguing this point to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chandkali was arguing this point that you are sacrificing the human being.
Does he mention it?
Yeah, discussion between Chandkali and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
I thought he said cows.
I don't remember the human beings. I don't think so. Okay. Although Sunashepa was born In the Bhagava dynasty, he was greatly advanced in spiritual life, and therefore the demigods involved in the sacrifice protected him. Consequently, he was also celebrated as the descendant of Gati and Devarata. When requested by their father to accept Shunashepa as the elder son, the elder 50 of the Madhuch Chandas, the sons of Vishwamitra, did not agree. Therefore, Vishwamitra became angry, cursed them. Being angry, cursed them. "May all of you, bad sons, become malechas," he said, being opposed to the principle of Vedic culture. Jamuna Jivam?
In Vedic literature, there are names like Melecha and Yavana. The Melechas are understood to be those who do not follow the Vedic principles. In former days, the Melechas are fewer, and Vishwamitra Muni cursed his sons to become Melechas. But in the present age, Kali Yuga, there is no need of cursing, but people are automatically Melechas. This is only the beginning of Kali Yuga, but at the end of Kali Yuga, the entire population will consist of Melechas because no one will follow Vedic principles. At that time, the incarnation of Kalki will appear. Melecha Nivahar Nidanai Kalya Sikhara Balam. He will kill all the Melechas in this field with his sword.
So, any points? What does it mean? Shudras or less. Yeah, because in Kali Yuga we're not even Shudras. Because Shudras, at least in the Vedic culture, we don't even fit into the Vedic culture. So therefore we're considered Malechas, Yavanas. We're considered, at least myself, by birth, we're considered to be outside of Vedic culture. Shudras at least inside of Vedic culture. At least he's in the Varnashram situation. But you know, Malechas are not even considered to be civilized people. No civilized behaviors. So in Kali Yuga people are Sudra or less. Not even Sudra. Any other point?
The Vedic principle is that you must over the elder person. In the family, especially the father and mother, but because the children didn't obey him, so he said he cursed him with the malediction. And because of him cursing, there are so many malediction.
Anything else?
A couple of chapters ago, we heard like in Satyuga, there was only one ashram, which was everyone was answered, like swans. And it was so pure that even if they disagreed to follow the V.C. Vishwamitra or Yamadagni, his son did not obey him, and he asked Parashuram to kill them. So we see here that if the Vedic system is so strict, like if someone disagrees to follow with the Ramash, with spiritual path, they were cursed or killed. So that was the quality of people in that they did not tolerate any kind of non-devotional behavior. Mm.
So very, very high standard.
Very high standard of living. Whereas we see here at this age, everybody should be just killed.
Yeah, everyone would be killed. Even when, I might have told before that when America was, 200 years ago, they were building the railway across America from the east coast to the west coast. So they were meeting in the middle of America. So, you know, they had to build by hand back then. So from the west coast, they had the Chinese people came in on boats and they just built the railway by hand the whole way across, halfway across America. Then the American guys were going that way. So then the guys were going from the East Coast, they were out there, that's when they had the term the Wild West. So they were out there and they'd work all day, but at night time they were very fallen people. So they'd just drink and they would gamble and they would have brothels. So it was very low class activity. So then the people back on the East Coast, because they were back in the beginning of America, everyone was Christian, everyone was very strict, they're very strict people. They wouldn't drink and these things. So then they sent one sheriff to go out there to find out what was going on. So he went out there and he saw they were all drinking and, you know, with the women in the brothels and gambling. So he just shot them all. Just took his gun and shot them all. And then he went back and he said, yeah, they're useless, bring new people, and then start again. So that's to say, even here we're seeing the system is, if the people are outside their system, if they're too low class, then they would be, I mean, they wouldn't just kill them immediately. They would try to, you know, encourage them. But if they're not doing it, then you have to be heavy on them. So in this day and age, everyone is Malecha, Prabhupada says. We're not even Sudra, we're just low-class people. So there's only one hope. No, it's actually the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, Patita Bhavana. Because he will save even the most fallen people. Because that is certainly, you know, in my case, by birth, I'm Malecha, or, you know, not even Varnashram system, not even Sudra, like something less than that, Malecha or Yavana or something. But Mahaprabhu, he'll pick up anyone who is sincere, who has bhakti, and then he will engage them in devotional service and purify them and then elevate them and take them back to Krishna. So that is the mercy of Mahaprabhu. By Sankirtan, he will come and he will chop, with the, it says in the Chaitanya Mangala, like he, Parashuram has the axe, because in Lord Chaitanya, his axe is Sankirtan. So he will come with the axe and he will cut away all of your material desires. And then he will elevate you to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So that is the only help in Kali Yuga. There's no other method.
Maybe they should have done the same thing in case of Persian,
that
they wouldn't have become
Malaysia,
but they should have purified some other way.
Well, next time you are there, you can tell them. next time they write this book, they will say, and just before they kill them, Sharada Mahrata, she ran out and she said, no, don't kill them, all of you, you must elevate yourselves. And some of them did, and the rest of them they killed. But this time it says they just killed them. Okay. When the elder Madhuch Chandas were cursed, the younger 50, along with Madhuch Chanda himself, approached their father and agreed to accept his proposal. Dear father, they said, we shall abide by whatever arrangement you like. Thus the younger Madhuch Chandas accepted Shunashepa as their eldest brother and told him, we shall follow your orders. Vishwamitra then said to his obedient sons, because you have accepted Shunashepa as your eldest brother, I am very satisfied. By accepting my order, you have made me a father of worthy sons, and therefore I shall bless all of you to become the fathers of sons also. What have Bandhu Pulu?
So both Abandhu have sons. God disobeyed Vishwamitra by not accepting Shunashepa as their eldest brother. But the other half accepted his father. Therefore the father blessed the obedient sons to become the fathers of sons. Otherwise, they too would have been cursed to
be
some less
later. Mm-hmm. Very good. So, any points?
One must obey the father.
Yeah. If the father is qualified, then one must obey. Yeah. So, this is the Vedic culture. The Vedic culture is they would follow the elder brother. That was the system. You see, the Pandavas, the system was so much loyalty to Yudhishthira. Just like Karna, he was fighting Yudhishthira on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he said to Kunti, he said before the battle, she came to him and she said, don't fight with your brothers. And he said, okay, I promise you that at the end you'll still have five sons. He said, I will kill Arjuna or Arjuna will kill me. He said, I will spare the rest of them. And all through the battle, Nakula, Sahadev, Yudhishthira and Bhima, Karna, on one occasion to each of them, he could have killed them. But he spared their life. So Yudhishthira was fighting with Karna, but he fought Yudhishthira so heavily and wounded him so badly, they had to take him off the battlefield. So Arjuna, he heard that that Yudhishthira was wounded, so he came back off the battlefield to come and see Yudhishthira. And when he came in, Yudhishthira saw, he said, "What is the news?" And he said, "I came to see if you're
okay."
Yeah, if you're okay. And he said, "You haven't killed Karna?" And he said, "No." And he said, "Then you're not worthy to carry Gandiva." So there's so much loyalty to Yudhishthira. And when Yudhishthira said that to Arjuna, he said, "You're not worthy to carry Gandiva." Arjuna had taken a vow. If anyone ever said that, he would kill them. And then he looked at Krishna and he said, "What do I do?" He said, "I have to now kill Yudhishthira." And Krishna said, "Kill him with your words." So then he said to him, he said, "It's because of you that we had to fight this battle. You lost Draupadi in the gambling match. You took everything too far." And then he insulted him and insulted him. And at the end, when he finished insulting, he fell down and he grabbed his feet and he said, "Please forgive me for saying all these things." And then Yudhishthira said, "Now go out and avenge me. Go and kill Karna." So there's so much loyalty to Yudhishthira. That's the Vedic system. You have to be loyal to the elder brother. If the elder brother is qualified, that's the point. And you have to be loyal to the father, if the father is qualified. These days it's all. It's very difficult in Kali Yuga. Because everyone is. If you listen to your parents sometimes, then it causes more problems. Kali Yuga is not easy. You want to be loyal, you want to be obedient, but sometimes they say the wrong thing. So. Kali Yuga is like. Therefore, Kali Yuga, the system is you follow Guru. That's the system in Kali Yuga. ISKCON's actually the family in Kali Yuga. Even my family, like, we're very, very close. You know, my mother and I, we're very close, like, very close relationship. But actually, my real family is ISKCON. That's actually the family. It's a stronger family, better family, less complicated family.
Yeah, one thing, Guruji, because he said to become the father, so he didn't tell the Manichas to become the father as well. So at least he didn't include the population of Manichas.
Well, next time you're there, you can tell him. Okay. You can't write more things after it's already written. This is the Bhagavatam. You don't just add extra.
Yeah, but my doubt is, I learned something.
Next time you can do it. Vishwamitra said, "O Kushikas, descendant of Kaushika, this Devarata is my son and is one of you. Please obey his orders." O King Parikshit, Vishwamitra had many other sons, such as Ashtika, Harita, Jaya, and Kratuman. Vishwamitra cursed some of his sons and blessed the others, and he also adopted a son. Thus there were varieties in the Kaushika dynasty, but among all the sons, Devarata was considered the eldest. Shilaprabhupada.